everyone. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Iconist Podcast. Like usual, one of your hosts, Barry3D, Deep Dark Delicious. The joke doesn't get old for me, but maybe it does for you. Hey, as you know, if you want to find anything I'm doing, you can find me at Barry3D.com. My side, as always, is the man, the myth, the legend, the one that's got you dancing all night long. My cousin, the one and only,
DJ Rod C. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into another episode. We got something for you today.
Yes, but yes, we've got a lot. I'm going to start off first and foremost. I am happy, proud to have my brother, the man that cracks me up a lot, constantly. I can't explain it right. You've heard me mention him a lot of times on the show, every time, and we've got him back one more time. Phenomenal, the funny, the witty, the intelligent. Just, I can't say enough about him. The one and only, my brother, Mr. Dave Sokolowski.
Oh, wow. Like, I'm stunned by that. I was confused when you were, I mean, everything but a humanitarian, really, you said. I mean, like, I feel like I should be up for the Nobel. You shut the fuck up. I feel like I should be up for the Nobel Prize.
You don't give yourself enough credit, and you should be, because, you know, we you know, the fundraisers, everything like that, we do. So, yeah, and I just had to give those flowers where they're due, dude. That's exactly what it is, right? So we'll go real quick through this round table. We're going to get right back to you, Dave, and then we're going to start this all off. And here he goes, because, you know, manners maketh the man. So first and foremost, Rod, let them know where they can find you real quick, Rod.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find me on the World Wide Web, as I always, on Instagram. You can find me at Mr. Rod C. If you find me there, you can find a tree link. You can find all the other places. You can find me on Facebook and so forth. But also, you can find me on the world of Twitch.tv, DJ Rod C. You can see me DJ, have fun, you know, interact. Everybody can have a lot of fun. We potting all night long, all night.
All night.
You can find me on there. Also, you can find me on the world of TikTok. You can find me at DJ Rod C1. Remember that? DJ Rod C1.
The number one. Absolutely. And before you throw it over to our esteemed guest, we start this topic off today. We're going to break it down real quick. So first, if you want to start a comic book collection, you can check out Wild Comics out in Kitchener. You can check out A Hero's Tale out in Cambridge, or you can check out Check Swings out in Montreal. On top of that, we are also part of the Subculture Podcast Network. Thank you very much. Can't go wrong there. Me and ours and a whole bunch of other podcasts, we've gotten together, all geeked them to go one and foremost. There we go. You can't go wrong. If you want to find our show, remember, like, subscribe, and share. Remember, keep an eye out for Podbean. That's what we use when we do all our audio hosting. And you can find us at iconist.podbean.com. Okay. And if you, too, need to have a podcast going or need any graphic work, there's only one man and one man you can turn to all the time worldwide. You, Dave, we're talking about the one and only
Jay Bird.
Art.
Yes, of course. Dave knows Jay Bird. We've all used Jay Bird. There you go. Mm-hmm. Mr. Jason Reese, Jay Bird Digital Arts. Reach out to him. Tell him you heard about him on the Iconist Podcast. He'll give you a discount off the work. Okay. I think we've pretty much got, oh no, what am I missing? And then, of course, when we're doing comedy, you can find me, our guest, Dave Sokolowski, along with Zulf Ali, the Make-A-Wish Kid, and we are A Touch of Grey Matter. Hey, keep your eyes out. We're going to book some shows. We're going to have some fundraisers coming up. Because I said, Dave made jokes about being humanitarian, but he's got a big heart. So, yeah, absolutely. Dave.
Yeah, no, that's the one medical thing that I haven't been diagnosed with. But, yeah, that's there's still time.
Dave, where can people find you?
Usually on my couch, because I have the workout regime of veal.
You can find me not just on your couch.
No, you can find me on Facebook, A Ton of Fun Entertainment. You can find me on TikTok at A Ton of Fun. I'm on Twitter or X or whatever the fuck he's going to call it next week. I don't know, Douchebags Are Us. But you can find me there at A Ton of Fun too. I'm on the gram, Insta, not wait. Again, A Ton of Fun. Yeah. So if you punch in a ton of fun entertainment and my name doesn't come up, well, fuck Google, and something's gone horribly wrong. So.
Man, I miss you, Dave. Absolutely. So, yes, you can find Dave all over all those places. And if he doesn't answer you right away, well, then he's doing some wind therapy because he's on his Harley driving, going someplace, and that's how he keeps his chakra in check. There we go. Right? That's what I said. Not always on your couch, Dave. You know, you and Zolf got those nice bikes, and I was still pushing a big wheel from, you know, the 70s. Okay.
Well, yeah, but my new bike is like a couch on wheels, so still works out.
Oh, man. Been too long. We got to do this more often. Okay. So on the Iconist podcast, the icon is
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. Not Doctor No, not Doctor Doom. We've covered him already. You know, not my doctor because he's looking for me probably, and I got to book an appointment. So we're talking about Doctor Who. And this is why we had to get Dave on, because you don't understand the fan of Doctor Who. Like, Dave is a fan. Like, you see him, you might think, uh-oh. And then you look, he's got the scarf. He's got the TARDIS hatch, right? He's got the TARDIS shirt, T-shirt, Doctor Who with the Union Jack and the mug. And that's just a tip of the iceberg. So, you know, usually when we have someone come on the show and they're talking about something they're passionate about, Rod is passionate about Doctor Who. Dave is passionate about Doctor Who. I'm still kind of learning about Doctor Who. So, like, you, the audience who's watching and listening today, remember, like, subscribe, and share. I will be sitting back and enjoying this episode. So, we are talking about Doctor Who. And what I'll say on this is Doctor Who has been out for years. Dave and Rod can get into this conversation. The only part I'm going to say on this is Doctor Who has been around for years, but he, at one point, his books were licensed by Marvel, and issue number one of Doctor Who came out in 1984 and ran for about 23 issues altogether of that series from that run. So if you are a hardcore collector, like we say, go check out the comic book stores we mentioned, find your own comic book store, pick up the series. Maybe you already picked up the series. You're missing some good art, good storylines, and I'll find out. Does the comic book maybe tie into some of the stories? I don't know. But here we go. Rod, ball's in your court.
All righty then. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have some fun today. So we're talking about Doctor Who. Now, Barry's mentioned long-lived character, long-lived in people's hearts. People know about this. I mean, in this generation, It's hard to find someone who doesn't know or heard Doctor Who. So we're going to try to get into this as best as possible. There's a lot of places you can go with here. And just bear with us. We may have to do a part 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. More on this. Who knows what comes down the pipeline? I'm just saying. Okay, cool. So Doctor Who started off in the BBC back in, you know, in British lore of television. Started off in 1964.
Wait a minute. Are you reading this?
I'm just... No. Listen.
Are you
listen.
Reading I, this? November 22nd, 1963.
63, 64. See, I'm saying. I've got old...
November 22nd, 1963. The Doctor's Daughter.
Take us, man. Take us.
Opens up.
I love this guy. Go on.
In a junkyard, you see the TARDIS there.
All right.
Oh, I know this is going on when it was black.
You know
and
what?
White.
And this is really, it's a really bad way of looking at it. But I am so glad social media wasn't around back then.
Mm-hmm. Because why, Dave? Why?
Well, so the opening night for Doctor Who, and then all of a sudden, what happens the next day? November 23rd, 1963. Let's go through, you know, the courtyard in Dallas, past the Booker Depository.
Ooh, Barnett! The assassination.
Yeah.
JFK.
Yep. Yep.
It would have just, it would have been, everybody would have been like, forget about it. I mean, like, I love watching the old ones.
Mm.
And by the old ones, we'll do everything up until the TV movie.
Got it.
Okay.
Yep.
So 1963 to 86, 87.
It's 87, 88. I think 87. Let's see. Yep.
Yeah, I think the TV movie with Paul McGann was 87, I want to say.
Wow. All right. So, hey, I'm going to pick your brains for half a second then. So for Dave, I'm going to ask the same question for you too, Rod. So when did you become aware of Doctor Who the very first time? Like, who was the first Doctor you guys both jumped on with?
Yeah.
Tom Baker.
Yeah, Tom Baker.
Okay, so which Doctor was he? Because I know there's multiple Doctors. So remember, I don't know.
So he's the fourth Doctor, and he was he came into existence from like 1974 to 1981. And I believe I would have caught on to either the reruns or just at the tail end of his tenure. But I fell in love with Tom Baker, with his wonderful, as you can see, Dave has his wonderful scarf, flowing scarf, and his long jacket. Oh my God.
Yes. Always okay, kept so he was the one that was the warm. Brown kind of.
With the brown jacket, with coat. The nice fedora hat, you know.
Yes, okay. Right. All right. All right.
The whimsical, so that's who the comic books one.
Were on, right. When they drew the comic books, like in 1984, that's the Doctor they went and they portrayed in that run for the 23 issues. Okay. Got it.
Correct.
So you guys see Doctor Who, watch it, say, oh my gosh. Now, what's the appeal of Doctor Who? Once again, keep in mind, I'm not knocking it, people. I really don't know. So I'm asking.
Sorry. I know you keep bringing up the Marvel series that ran for 23 issues.
Yes.
But IDW, I think it's IDW. Was it Impact? There's another Doctor Who comic book that has all the newer Doctors in it as well.
Right, okay. But I mean, for what I could see North America-wise, that was the earliest thing here, North America-wise, I was finding, right? I know it had strips in a magazine, a Doctor Who magazine that ran over in the UK.
Yeah, but there's like a current series that they've been doing now for a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
See, told you. Don't know, but now I know. Good to know. So both of you, right. So number four, Tom, that's the Doctor you both jumped on with. What's the appeal of Doctor Who? I mean, it's a mass appeal, but for someone like myself who doesn't know, what's the appeal of Doctor Who? I see TARDIS looks like a phone booth. He's in outer space. He travels. He goes different dimensions. He's time traveling.
Well, I mean, like when I first saw it, I was probably 8, 9. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was everything, you know, like, cause I caught on right around when Star Wars was coming out and, you know, the sci-fi and fantasy and the space and everything else. And I was still too young to understand and catch on to Star Trek. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like as an 8-year-old, Star Wars was like, ooh. And then, if I recall correctly, a buddy of mine had it on at his place. And I was just like fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. Like I was just watching, I'm like, I'm watching this eccentric bumbling idiot with a 12-foot scarf.
Right.
You know, stumble his way through like Paris and it was Paris at the time. Yeah, that episode. It was the one with the Mona Lisas. If I can remember the series, because back then they were all serials as well.
Yes. Yeah.
So there was like, you know, four 30-minute episodes. Whereas now they're doing like hour episodes and everything else. And
right.
The production is way better. You know, because
for the time, you got to give it. They took on a big endeavor at the time that they were doing it, right?
Well, yeah. See, when they started it, they wanted it to be a children's show. And it was supposed to be, you know, like you can learn about different eras and everything else. It was more about time than space, but then it became more about space and time. But like the early episodes, like this was the budget. Go ahead.
Make do what your you can do with that.
You know,
the amount of monsters. Go ahead.
I mean, like coming from that to what you see today with all the visual effects and everything else. I mean, like it's, you know, leaps and bounds.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it was like right around Star Wars. So everything with that, I just kind of like started absorbing. And the more I watched, the more I got into it. And then I found out about the regenerations.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God. This is so cool.
So here's my thing. So, I mean, I know, as I said, same, we're all about the same, right? Age and everything. So that's the first doctor I saw. It was the one with the scarf, everything like that. Like I said, because I saw the comic book, I saw it on TV. I remember I used to watch Mystery Theater 3000. It came on. Then when you look at it, you see all of a sudden Doctor Who, and it's in black and white sometimes, right? I was watching it on, you know, like CBC or whatever. And they're like, black and white, and I'm looking at it, and then I'm seeing it in color, and then it's like, all right, what am I missing? So let's go back. What's the origin story of Doctor Who? Like, I was trying to do some research, and I know they came at one point, I thought that was interesting, and it's like, you know, so I know they mentioned like Time Lords, and then at one point they were saying, well, he could be half human, half Time Lord, and it was like they kind of started the story and then they stopped, right? So all right.
So the original origin was he's a Time Lord from Gallifrey, and he got bored and he stole a TARDIS. Now, the TARDIS itself is just a big cylinder ship, but it has a cloaking device. And when it landed in England, they did a police box because nobody would, because at the time too, it didn't look out of place on the street.
Right. Okay.
But okay. Something happened with the cloaking device and it just got stuck in that.
Okay. Now I'm getting some answers.
Yeah. Essentially it was, he was bored and he was like, oh, fuck this. I'm going somewhere.
Right. And just kind of and stole it, you know. Basically, no one knew. He just basically said, "I'm going to take the TARDIS, go for a run, and I'm having fun. I'm going to go here next."
60 years later, he's still doing it,
still running. Per se.
So is he now? Here's the thing, because I saw, like, you know, once again, I was doing some little research here, obviously to have some talking points. So when I get it with the TARDIS. I understand cloaking device is broken. What? You know, and then one of the people, their theory was, or maybe some of the information he had, was Doctor Who, like he left his planet and he's going through to almost trying to stop man from chasing a golden age. Like man's always trying to get back to a golden age or have a golden age. And it seems like he's always trying to avert that. And then in one of the quotes was, there is no gold, you're looking for a golden age, but it never really existed.
That's an interesting thought. I will admit, I don't think I've ever heard that.
No, because yeah, no, I don't buy into that. I mean, like he's always been really, really proud of humans and humanity and everything else. I mean, like I know before. So, you get the timeline straight.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay.
Right up until the Ninth Doctor, which was the TV movie with Paul McGann.
Right.
He went back to Gallifrey a number of times. He was put on trial. Mm-hmm. And then after Paul McGann and the TV movie was the war, the Time War, which was the Time Lords and the Daleks.
Okay.
And then when they came back what, late '90s, early 2000s, I think.
Yeah, early 2000s
with
Christopher. Yeah,
Christopher Eccleston. He was the Ninth Doctor, so he was the one immediately after the war. Paul.
After war. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's what they had kept forever. It was Paul McGann, then Christopher Eccleston.
Mm-hmm.
For the 50th anniversary, they brought in John Hurt as the War Doctor.
Yes.
So he was the doctor that fought the Time War.
Okay, got it. So now, here's another question. Right? And you can keep on your point, so I don't mean to cut you off. It's like, why does it always keep changing doctors? That's another thing, like I said, just want to understand that. Like, you know, the doctor always looks different after X amount of time.
So the scenario with that one is like, we got to go back to the first one. So with the actor that they had portraying Doctor Who was William Hartnell. Older gentleman, and he was the first one, and he, you know, did his lines, did everything good to a certain degree, you know, due to the complexity of the whole show. William would be able to do his lines, and after a couple of times, it's like, okay, what's my line? You know, the typical line, just to get the answer, just to continue. Mm-hmm. It just became so repetitive in the sense, like, he seemed like he would forget his lines. He would just kind of, like, unfortunately, zone out.
Well,
he was also getting older as well.
Exactly. So it's age.
He's getting older. He was old. As you can look, when you see who he is, and when you look back and see the original, you see he was an elderly gentleman. So he was getting old in his age and in that regard of portraying the character. And they basically said, you know, we got a thing kind of going on here. We're going to have to change. And they realized the best way to change from one character or same character, having a different actor step in, was to create the idea of regeneration. So that was basically the creation of the whole idea of being able to regenerate from one actor, same character, to another, and make it as flawless as possible. And people understood, well, we have a new person. Instead of going back and seeing different series and like, how come the doctor is different? They explain it in this particular manner. I was like, to me, genius. When you look back from at that time, that was a genius way of just like plot twist and just
There was that too. And then there was also the fact that originally the doctor was only supposed to be able to regenerate 12 times.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's another, yeah.
So there was. Well, because it was at the end of Matt Smith's run where it was the crack in the universe.
Yep.
With the Time Lords on the other side. And in that particular episode, they gave the Doctor more regenerations. Which is why after Peter Capaldi, because technically it's always been Christopher Eccleston was number 9, David Tennant number 10, Matt Smith was 11. But then they brought in the War Doctor. So that really bumped everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
So he technically after Matt Smith, there was no more regenerations.
Correct.
Right. But they saw, I guess they saw the good in what the Doctor was doing. They gave him more regenerations, which gave us the Peter Capaldi Doctor, which I love. The Jodie Whittaker Doctor, which I also loved.
Mm-hmm.
David Tennant again, which I was kind of like, damn it. I wanted more. But and then now with Shuri Gatwa. Gatwa.
Mm-hmm. Gatwa. Yeah, Gatwa. Right.
Gatwa. Sorry, I was trying to read it in my mind and I'm like, am I spelling that right?
I know.
Look, Dave, you know me well enough. I've messed up people's names, including yours, many years. So
I know.
Who am I to judge?
You're the host. You're allowed to judge. That's your job.
And how many times did I mess up your name, okay, in over the years, till a certain point? So,
I don't think they've invented that number yet.
Shame.
mathematicians are still working on it. So I get it. So now, okay, this makes it more easier for me to understand because I know Disney Plus has finally gotten a series from a certain point on, and of course they got the movies on there, but there's more and more the recent stuff and not obviously the older stuff.
So for the Disney Plus, it's like from the 60th anniversary forward.
Right. Okay.
So anything before that, well, not right now, because right now I think Jodie Whittaker's run still hasn't been put on Prime. But Peter Capaldi back to Christopher Eccleston is on Prime. Mm-hmm. And then William Hartnell's, Patrick Troughton's, John Pertwee's,
Tom Baker,
Peter Davison, Sylvester McCoy. They're all on like one of the Roku apps. I can't remember which one it is, but it's all on like the free stuff there.
Right.
And then BBC Media Player put everything from beginning up until Disney Plus. But if you're not in England, then having it all on the BBC Media Player is just really the BBC going to the rest of the world. But I'm not bitter about that, so that's the important thing.
Good thing to know. It's a good thing to know that you're not bitter about
it. Yeah, good thing to know. Good. Thank you, Dave.
So, I just wanted to make sure. All right, so I get it. So, multiple doctors, he's got an extra rejuvenation added on to him so he can go past 12. They've taken that limit off, which was smart because they realized they were coming close to the number. Right. That's cool. Here's my other question to follow up with that is explain more about the rejuvenation for me. So what, because I saw a clip and I think it's with Jodie, the female doctor.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Do you mean the regeneration?
Regeneration. Sorry.
Regeneration.
As I said,
we'll get into the bi-generation on another episode, but
the regeneration, because I saw like a clip when I was doing some research earlier today and it's Jodie who's the female doctor, right?
Correct.
And they're talking about the origin. And in the clip, she was talking to another person. He's her saying, hey, look, here's a scene. There's this doctor. She's trying to unlock something with the DNA. There's a little girl on the table. And she's, trying to work with the girl at the same time, trying to unlock this code of their DNA. And the whole time she was asking, who's the girl? Who's the girl? And then explain how that girl, that doctor experiments on themselves and how they can change it to different bodies. But the whole time, Jodie was asking, who's the girl? And then it was given over to, you were the girl. Don't you remember? And that, but I said, it was only like a 5-minute clip I saw. And I'm like, okay.
Well, if it's the episode that I'm thinking of, it was called The Timeless Child.
That would have been it.
Kind of. This isn't a family show, is it?
It is. Ish. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so it kind of just bent over the original origin and took a running start and just...
Got it.
Like, yep.
Full iron fist from Kun Lun, like just...
Right.
And a lot of people were... a lot of people were upset about that, and the writer at the time, Chris Chibnall, how, he just screwed everything. And I get it, but also I liked it because in those episodes, there was Jodie Whittaker, obviously, and then I can't remember the actress's name.
Joe Martin.
But, who?
Joe Martin.
Yes, her. She was the fugitive doctor. Oh. So she's another incarnation of the doctor.
Yeah.
So
really you need kind of like an abacus and an etch-a-sketch to follow the timeline. And honestly, you can go back to the episode Blink with David Tennant, where he explains, you know, most people think of the timeline as being linear.
Right.
Whereas, like, when you're actually looking at it, it's more of a wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
Wimey-wimey, yep.
Mess. Which, now, going along with the episodes, like, with Jodie's doctor, and then having David come back, and now Shuri being with the bi-generation, you know, you're kind of like, ah, yes. now I understand the wibbly wobbly timey wimey bullshit. You know, like it's more, yes, that's definitely an issue with it. So,
okay, good to know. So yeah, that makes sense. All right, so I'm understanding this, and I'm getting a bit more understanding, because when I try to watch the episode, there's so many to try to jump on. It's hard to find a good jumping on point. So hold on, you guys keep this conversation going. I'll be back in 2 seconds. Just bear with me. I see something weird here. But yes, I'm just going to put myself on mute. I'm sorry, everybody. I'll be right back.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Just something.
No worries about that. Well, you know what? So let's continue on that aspect of at least doctors and all that line. So Tom Baker was your favorite doctor, or your first introduction to Doctor Who. Mine, yes, as well. What was it? We already asked you, what is it that you liked about Tom? But was Tom I'm in my head, I kind of have to keep them in the old school originals group, and then you have the new, you know, rendition, if you want to say it that way. Past Chris, you go that sense. Who in the first set do you like? Like, I mean, is there anyone other than Tom that you like in the first rendition?
Yeah, I really liked John Pertwee's, where he was kind of like stuck at UNIT, and you know, he was kind of like, he didn't travel around much. He had Betsy the car, he had the Whomobile,
yep,
you know, and and that. So it was kind of like, I liked him because it was all there. Tom Baker, I loved, obviously. I really enjoyed Peter Davidson. Colin Baker, I liked.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of drifted away with the Sylvester McCoy era. The middle four, I guess, would be starting with John Pertwee, Tom Baker, Peter Davidson, and Colin. I just said his name. What the fuck's his last name?
Colin Baker.
Yeah, Baker. Yeah. First, he just said his last name. Dumbass. This is the same one as the other one.
Listen, I agree. I got introduced with Tom Baker when, over the years, you start to realize the lore and the extent of, oh, there were other guys before. There's another doctor. Who are these guys? And you start to find who they are. I did like John Pertwee as well, because it gave me a distinction in the sense, like, Tom Baker was the one that was always in different locations, whatever the case would be. And then when you realize, like, oh, there was another doctor who was interacted with the the unit, thank you, and kind of build that lore. I was liking that because it was giving me a two for one, in a sense that I can understand. Oh, this is an individual. All the scenarios are happening on Earth. He's now standing as the frontline defense, you know, stopping any type of invasion, any type of catastrophe, anything that's going on. The doctor is going to be there to help out and take care. And I love that. And again, also, what was the different? It was like the yin and yang. Tom Baker was like, he was the funny one eating licorice, if I remember correctly.
Jelly babies.
Jelly Baby. Sorry, Jelly Baby. Yes, it was Jelly Babies.
Would you like Jelly Baby?
Right. See, it's been so long. The old brain is catching up. But I love that he was always so whimsical. He was like an adult child. That anything, he just was able to see it from a different perspective. And then you got John, who was just like,
well,
the doctor.
John Pertwee was more like a James Bond.
Yes. And that was it. And I had a very good, you know, love for the spies, the spy, you know, culture, James Bond back in those days. Anyway, so that was the similar. That was the lore right there that kind of pulled me in with John very well.
Yeah, no. And that, I mean, like for me as well. But like I loved like Colin Baker's run. Mm-hmm. Peter Davison, I thought was great. And now that whole connection with the new Doctor Who and everything else is just brilliant. Because you know the story, right?
Which story? Refresh my memory.
Peter Davison's daughter, Georgia?
Yes, yes. That is quite the interesting.
Who met the Doctor in an episode called The Doctor's Daughter? And she was the Doctor's daughter who married the Doctor.
Hilarious. That was hilarious.
But yeah, I split them up as well, like the original series and then the relaunch. So, I mean, like, Tom Baker's always, like, my first Doctor. He's, like, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But, like, I thought Christopher Eccleston was, like, brilliant.
Because he brought a different edge to it. And that's what I like. Because the scenario for me, not just to add on, what I liked about the originals, and you can see that they tried to take a little piece of what the previous actor did and gave their own little spin and add on. Take another piece of the previous person and add on. When Christopher came in, as I say, I'm not flipping over tables. I'm just coming out like 100. I'm 180. Whatever you thought the Doctor was.
Well, what I liked about him and what I found out afterwards, because of, like, you know, when you get all the specials and that, and then the day of the Doctor comes out, mm-hmm. and they do the War Doctor. And once you see the War Doctor and everything he had to go through, you're kind of like, you know what? Now I understand Christopher Eccleston's Doctor a lot better.
Right.
And that, I went back and I watched all that series and I was like, yeah, you know what? He's like definitely like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love, and I mean, like, there's certain episodes from each Doctor that I will watch over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Like, I don't care.
Every Doctor has a particular story that's like, you know what? I'm good with that. Yep. Please make sure that I can watch that again. I can watch that one again. I can watch that one again. You're absolutely correct. Like each individual Doctor just had their own particular passage, particular style to them that they were keeping with the whole story, the same type of lore of making sure I have a little piece of the previous one and add on.
Yep.
So it was great in that regard.
So here's my question for you guys. Sorry. Disaster averted. All is well. Sorry. Thought I saw something and I did. There was a little mouse down here and I was going, get it.
Mickey.
5-0 made it inside. He wanted to keep warm. Sorry, 5-0.
You know, it's all fun and games when you're beating the crap out of a rat and everybody else at Disney World is like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
A little bit of mousetrap. So out of all the Doctors, so here's my question. What is a good jumping on? Which Doctor would be a good jumping on point for someone that's brand new to the series? Like myself, I want to watch it. Where should I jump on to still catch some of the history that's happened before but still be entertained for the ride going forward?
Honestly, you have until May for the new ones to come out on Disney Plus.
Right.
I would start at number 9. I would start right with Rose and go from there. Like, because you'll be able to catch all the new things, and you'll be able to kind of understand where the Doctor came from.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
I think that's probably your best. Like, if you want to see how like the origins of it, there was a TV movie, Adventures in Space and Time, I think it was, or Time and Space. But it showed how Verity, I can't think of her last name, but the lady who came up with Doctor Who had fought for it and everything else, her first name was Verity. And it shows her picking William Hartnell and getting, you know, like everything going and whatnot and what it's become. And for that one, you can understand where they started and where they came up. But for now, I'd start at number 9, Christopher Eccleston, Rose. That first episode where, you know, he introduces himself and
Come starts with me if you
want. Running.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come and with me if you want to live.
Right. Okay. And does the Doctor have a name? Because we all know him as Doctor Who. That's how it's advertised. But does the Doctor have a name? I mean, I've seen a couple episodes and it's like, who are you? I'm the Doctor. And that's all you get from him during a moment of crisis. And you kind of just start going down the rabbit hole.
He does. He has a name.
Okay. Do you know it?
And nobody knows what it is.
No, that's the problem. That's the problem. That's one of the deepest lore mysteries of this character.
Out of all his companions, I think the only one that he's ever told flat out is River, his wife.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, so the Doctor was married at one point.
Yeah.
They were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But wouldn't that be okay? Yeah. Sorry. My head.
No, you
every
know
time
what?
I think about that is a. You know where I'm going with David.
Start at Christopher Eccleston.
Okay. All right.
Yes. You have to. Yeah. The main concern I would say definitely is because start with Christopher. Because Rose is a intricate part of the second half, the second generation of Doctor Who, where she actually bridges from Christopher to David. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would say because she's in both, she interacts with both doctors. So you can just see that she can, through her eyes, that's the way I also think about it. Through her eyes, we watch the episode, we watch the show. She's now becomes like a, not only a companion, but she comes as an eyes for us to see and actually feel the difference between the doctors. Because normally when they switch over, the companion doesn't seem to stay that long. You can correct me if I'm wrong, David, but I don't think you don't normally see them staying that long when they come with a new regeneration.
I know there's been a few. Rose was one.
Yeah, Rose was one. Ace, I can't remember how long Ace stayed. But I was saying, they're not a lot.
From the earlier ones, it's really hard to tell. I think Sarah Jane was one.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Rose, Clara.
Clara did. But that's what I'm saying. From the new generation, they actually helped. They basically gave you the perspective. I read it one place once, and it actually made me rethink of it. Having the companion there, we knew they're there to kind of give the perspective for the audience to see through their eyes. But the older generations, you kind of felt that, whatever the case may be. But I definitely felt it more with Rose, Claire, you know, the newer generation. The writing style made you realize, okay, you can see the depth of what the Doctor does and why he does. And you can, you know, again, more, you know, newer writing, better writing, that type of scenario. But, I mean, I liked it in that regard.
Right. And I'm probably safe. I mean, I don't know enough, right? So they're probably safe to say that a lot of people that, like yourselves, who've watched Doctor Who from the beginning or gone back and watched the earlier ones, have seen it. Some of these people have become super fans themselves, that they probably became writers or whatever within the industry and started working on this project that they used to watch. So they probably have a better understanding of the character.
Well, like almost like Picard, right? There's a lot of that because, you know, Peter Capaldi is probably the, you know, the best known one. He was the president of the fan club for a while, and he got to meet Tom Baker. He got to meet Elizabeth Sladen. He got to, you know, he got to hang out with K-9. You know, so, and then all of a sudden it's kind of like, hey, by the way,
we just lose Dave.
I think we did. I'm sure you're going to say, oh, by the way, we have an opening on the Doctor Who series. Would you like to make an appearance? So Peter Capaldi, you know, graciously, thank God he did. He took that, and trying to remember, I can see it. I can see which one it was to a certain degree. And the scenario is that he was a character in the Doctor Who lore as a Roman emperor in that sense. Please forgive me if, you know, the old brain is just trying to catch up. But he was a character in there, like in the Eyes of March type of character. And then when it came to regeneration, it was basically saying that when the Doctor regenerated from Matt Smith into Peter, it was saying that he basically pulled on that particular character that he had liked. He had built a quick little rapport. You know, he was poor in the sense that Peter Capaldi, his character was dying, and he basically saved him and his family. And basically when it came time to regenerate it, he came to take his face, take his image. And yes, we'll take a pause for...
Hold on, I'm screwing everything up.
Oh, good, man.
No, it's your name. It's your name coming in. I honestly, as a side note, you came in with that earlier, and I'm like, that's funny. But I'm knowing in my head, the banner is going to block it, so no one can see that later on. I'm like, you guys don't know what you're missing. All of a sudden.
I want to make sure some of it is shown. You know me. I'm
going to
make sure
some of it is shown. Wait, don't worry now. It's right there now.
I love it. So okay. So I get everything. So we got all that. So now here's and more questions for you. So now, what are you hoping to see next from Doctor Who? I mean, this thing has been going on for forever, right? And it always seems like he comes in, he does what he's got to do. When they bring in a new actor, the old companions seem to kind of go their way. They bring in new companions, and then this Doctor goes on with his mission. What's the overall mission? What are you hoping to see next from the series, you know, short-term, long-term? Because he's like an enigma to me. Like, no one really knows him. And when he starts kind of opening up a little bit, it's like, oh, gotta go.
It's happening again. Yeah, I will say, what am I looking for? Well, with, you know what? I'm not going to get myself shot. I gotta say it right. Kunti Gatwa, please forgive me. I'm just as bad with names. He is the latest rendition. He's the latest Doctor, the 15th Doctor. He's basically now is coming from a very different type of light. If I'm going to look at it from the standpoint that Jodie Whittaker was the 13th, and then she transformed into David Tennant, and then with the last episode or the last special they had this past season, David split into being, and this is the thing that made it very different. He didn't really regenerate per se, but he did regenerate in the sense that he split into two physical forms and actually had two doctors at the same time. So yeah, this is where it is getting very interesting. And a lot of people, at least I'll say, I know I've spoken to a friend or two in this regard. We're just like interesting in what the writing's gonna go. How the storyline gonna have that you're gonna have two doctors at the same time and what their plans with that. But it's supposed to be a very interesting role because he's coming from a different standpoint, like you're saying, with binary, non-binary, and giving the opening up the world to this particular, you know, form that is happening, you know, that everybody is, you know, embracing. So I'm just looking to see how we're gonna write that in. So if the lore now smoothly just comes in, everybody just say like, it makes sense. Like that should have been there from before type of scenario.
Gotcha. And same question to you, Dave. I was asking Ron, I'm not sure if you heard the question or not.
He's like, no.
No? All right, here we go. So put you on the screen and you're going, I know. So what are you hoping to see short-term, long-term when it comes to Doctor Who? Is there anything you're looking for in the future coming to series?
No, man. I'm just like, I enjoyed the ride. Like, I think with Shuri Gatwa, I think he's a really good choice. And I loved the way that they put him in Ruby Road and like the special that they just did with him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it opened up a lot. And I think they kind of were paving that way with the three specials that they did. Like the 60th anniversary specials. And if you haven't seen them yet, sucks being you. But there's a scene where the Doctor and Donna are in crash and they're in front of Sir Isaac Newton.
Hmm.
And they make the joke about Mavity or whatever. And then as they're leaving, Donna says something about Isaac Newton being hot. And the doctor responded like, yeah, he kind of was. Oh, wait a minute. Is that who I am now? He kind of gave, and then, but knowing that like Shunigawa is coming in and knowing what he's like, because if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's on Netflix. It's called, Sex Education with Gillian Anderson.
Hmm.
He's in that as well. And it's a brilliant series. It's funny as hell. And he does so well in that. So seeing him in that and then knowing that he's going to be the next doctor, you're kind of like, okay, I know where they're going.
Right.
My issue, and I'm sure this is going to piss off a lot of fans, especially if they're watching this and that. And personally, I don't fucking care. A ton of fun. ENT@gmail.com. If you have any complaints, come talk to me. But there's so many people that are all like, oh, you know, Doctor Who's so woke now, and you know, he's doing all this, and now they're playing into the gender roles and everything else, and is like, have you watched the series? Like, have you ever watched it before? Like, Doctor Who has always been woke. You know, he doesn't have weapons. He has a screwdriver.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't go around and pick fights, but he will defend what he loves.
Yep.
You know, when they first thought up the character, they gave him two hearts, you know, so it's going to be like, yeah, there's going to be some. So I know a lot of them were kind of like, you know, upset when like Jodie was named as doctor.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, goody, a woman, blah, blah, blah. And then now with Shuri, it's kind of like, oh, terrific. It's black and he's gay or bi or whatever, or pan or trans. Or it really doesn't fucking matter. It's the doctor. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be exactly what everybody wants it to be. There's going to be the adventures in the TARDIS. There's going to be different times. There's going to be different places. There's going to be different scenarios. There's going to be some, you know, monsters from the past coming in, you know, Dalek, Cybermen,
Weeping Angels. Oh, let's see. Weeping Angels. If they bring Weeping Angels with him, that will be very interesting. But,
you know,
I'm just adding to what you're saying, Dave. You're right. Like, the Doctor has been like that. It's like, he's always been that type of fight for justice. He's like someone, you know, just like Biohazard, just running in and just doing stuff first and then asking afterwards, like, oh, what's I? Yeah, they needed help, so I'm here to help. It's deep cut for Barry. He'll understand that. Yeah. Doctor Who just goes in, does what he has to do. And just like saying, I'm right in the wrong. No, he has no problem being open enough to tell someone straight in their face, no, you're wrong. This is the reason why you're wrong. This is how, you know, you don't want to correct it? Okay. I'm the Doctor. Let me help you. I'm here to subscribe World of Hurt to put you back in your place.
Right.
That's what he does with a sonic screwdriver.
Sonic screwdriver. Because he's not overly violent. And here's the whole thing. When people talk about shows, like, I mean, I'm looking at Doctor Who, Star Wars, Star Trek, or whatever case may be. And then he tried to use the terms woke. That doesn't apply because we're going through this now. This is the day and age we're living in now, right? Got it. Mm-hmm. This takes place in the future, which means they've sorted these things out in the future. That's the thing that we subscribe to, right? Like in Star Trek, they're beyond certain things. So gender and race and all that wouldn't be an issue. He himself is from the future. So what they went through, they've sorted out. And so what we're getting upset about in this day and age, to me, in the future, is a different thing altogether, right? They've passed that. So you got to look at it from their point of view of how the character is written, and you couldn't say the character is woke. It's more of, oh, you guys are still dealing with this? We dealt with that years ago. We dealt with that centuries ago. We're good, right? And that's what the whole thing is about this character. But yeah, so look. I'll come to this. I know we had a great conversation. I know I had to go and catch a little mouse, whatever case be. Sorry, everyone. the one chewing through the wires. But on the last notes, we'll say Doctor Who, interesting character, lot of stuff. And I mean, between, and I'll make this real quick. I know we've talked about the movies, the TV show, the specials. We mentioned the comic books. Have any of you guys ever read the novels by chance or even any of the Doctor Who magazines from the UK?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just saying, like, no, go ahead, go ahead.
I read some of the comic books. I remember them being in Marvel. I read some of the newer ones and that, and I'll check out, I'll let Barry know what publishing company it is and everything else. I've seen the magazines, I haven't read them. Mm-hmm. A lot of the novels are, kind of hard to find, or if you the ones that I found are like really fucking expensive, and I'm like, but yeah, I mean, like, there's media all over, and now they're like they have like radio plays with then they're using the different doctors and companions or like new people playing them. But I mean, like, if you honestly look, there's so many Doctor Who connections everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. Because we haven't even touched on like the spinoffs, which are Torchwood or Sarah Jane Adventures or Class or which is a whole different. We haven't really talked about any of the companions and what they mean and everything else. So I definitely think that. Probably another like I said, episode we'll do.
Well, like I said, episode 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll be back.
You got to go through like all the, you know, like the big enemies, which are
right,
like,
and that's
the Daleks, the Cybermen, the Weeping Angels, you know, like there's just so many of them. The Silence, the Suntarans, the, you know, like the Slovene.
The Master.
The Master, Missy, you know, like it's just, and then like even like a whole episode on the like the pawns and and River in that. So I mean, like, there's so much there that it's hard to condense it into 1 hour so that you can sit there and go, I know everything about Doctor. No, you don't.
Right. Which I knew that was not going to happen. So I'll say this, Rod, any last words before we wrap this up?
Listen, you will enjoy, if you take the time and dive into it, you don't have to dive in, just put your foot in and you'll see that the lore has been building and it's still building. That's the great thing about it. This character started off in the 1960s and it's still organically growing to the point that you realize, like, you will never be disappointed if you pick up an older episode, a current episode, the books, magazines. You will see that there's something there for you, and you will be quite pleased and happy to say, yo, there's something here that I like. You will not be disappointed. That's all I have to say.
Fair enough. So I'm going to say this. You both said it right. Obviously, there's a lot of lore we got to cover, so I have no problem with this. I would love to do more Doctor Who and go into the, maybe certain seasons, go into certain aspects. For sure, have Dave. We got to come back. Avoid seeing your smiling face. Always say, dude. When, remember, this has been the Iconist Podcast. Myself, Barry 3D, here with Rod C. And our guest, Mr. Dave Sokolowski, who is being a ninja. This whole world was started by a pencil, a piece of paper, and lots of imagination. Keep on dreaming. We're out. Now I'm going to go find myself a TARDIS.
Something around the back.
It's a long screwdriver. Let me just start small this way up. All right.